Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to see you. Good to have you here this morning. It's good to be back with you. Libby and I have taken some time off and have enjoyed that. It's good to be back with our church family, so we're looking forward to worshiping with you today. I want to share a verse with you as we get started. It comes from the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says this. God is speaking, and he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." It's good to know that God has plans for us, first of all, and that his plans include something that's going to happen going forward, and they're plans that will give us hope. We always need hope. Would you pray with me, please? God, thank you that you're a God who loves us, looks after us. You can even see into the future what we're going to need. And you promise that what you see in the future, you have already figured out a way in those circumstances we find ourselves in, that you have promised to give us hope. We don't understand what that means in those circumstances, but you promised to give us hope. Teach us about that today as we worship you. Now, Father, we've come here to bless you. We've come here to worship you, to thank you for your goodness, the way you've blessed us. So accept our worship time now. Pour your spirit out among us. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be interested to know that average Americans, how many of you like eggs? Anybody here like eggs? Three. How many of you love eggs? How many could eat eggs? Three meals a day. I love eggs. Average Americans eat 300 eggs each year. That's just individually. That means we eat 4,800,000,000 eggs a year. You want to give a clap for the chickens? The average American IQ is 100. While investigating this, I took a legitimate IQ test online, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not average. I'm going to let you decide on what side of average I came down. How many times do you think we blink in a day? Just guess in your head how many times we blink in a day. We blink 15 to 20 times a minute. If you do the math, the average person blinks 17,280 times in a day. The average American moves 11.7 times in his or her lifetime. Here's an interesting statistic. The average American woman owns 17 pairs of shoes and only wears three of them regularly. Men, do not laugh. But the average American male owns less than that. I'm not going to say, we just own a whole lot less than that. Somebody said that being average means you're just as close to being at the bottom as you are to being at the top. Today we're going to talk about how to live above average. How do you live above average? Now, if you've got the bulletins, I hope you did, take the outline out and follow along as we go through this morning. How to live above average. We're going to look at a man who stood out among the crowd. His name is Jabez. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. He's an interesting fella. The first nine chapters of the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles are all genealogies. There are over 600 names mentioned in this section of Scripture. Now, we probably sometimes skip over this portion of Scripture when we're reading through the Bible. Unless you're in seminary and you're going to have a test on it the next day, you could just go through these names because they're hard to pronounce. It's hard to read them. We're not going to read them this morning. But in the middle of those names is the name Jabez. And it catches your attention. Because out of all of these 600 generations of people, God says, this man, Jabez, deserves special recognition. He's an honorable mention. Now, we're going to look at just some verses here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. We're going to draw everything about Jabez out of these couple of verses. So let's read them right now. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says this. Jabez was more honorable than all his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. There are only two verses in the entire Bible on this man. But he gets two verses, whereas 600 other people get nothing said about them. Why? What made Jabez so special? What made him above average? What made him so unusual that God singled him out? Folks, when God singles out somebody, you know that he must have done something significant. What did Jabez do that caused him to be preserved for posterity? What was it unique about him and his life? Well, there's just a thumbnail sketch about him, just two verses, but in these two verses we learn three secrets about the life of this man that when applied to our lives will help us live above average. So let's look at these. Three things we need to learn from the life of Jabez. Number one, take your notes here. We need a great ambition. If you want to live above average, you need a great ambition. Now, notice, listen, folks, I'm talking, all of us can be average. Most of us are average in most parts of our lives. But there's a difference between being average and living average. Excuse me, I don't know why I'm having a hard time with this today. All right. There's a difference between being average and living average. We're talking about living above average, even if we're average. The first thing you need is you need a great ambition. Jabez said to God, God, enlarge my territory. While Jabez's friends were satisfied with being average, Jabez said, Lord, I want you to do something significant in my life. I want you to bless me. I want you to enlarge my territory. He's saying, I don't want to be ordinary, Lord. He wanted to expand and to grow and to enlarge his territory, to expand his vision, to deepen his dream, to give him a goal. He wanted God to give him something above average, out of the ordinary. He wanted something special. He wanted something great. Most of all, he wanted God's blessing more deeply in his life. Many people go through life just drifting through. They have no goals, no purpose, no aim, no desires. They just float with the crowd. And Jabez says, no, God, I don't want to be that way. I want you to enlarge my territory. I want you to stretch me, God. I want you to do something that you've never done before. Do that in my life. Folks, you've got to have a great ambition. You've got to have a dream. When you stop dreaming about what God can do through you and what you want God to do through you, you start dying. If you have no goals, you have no growth. You've got to have a vision. As long as your horizon is expanding, you'll be a healthy human being. Facing new challenges, trying new dreams, believing God for greater things, you'll continue to grow. You need a great ambition. Now, there are three common misconceptions that prevent us from having a great ambition in life. First of all, we tend to confuse humility with fear. We confuse humility with fear. We say, I could never do that. I could never do anything. I'm just a little old me. That's not being humble. That's being fearful. It's a lack of faith. Humility says, I can do it with God's help. You've got to have a great ambition. Don't confuse humility with fear. Also, we tend to confuse contentment with laziness. Paul says in Philippians 4:12, I've learned to be content in every situation. Some people think that means you don't set goals, you don't have any dreams, you just be content with what you have. No, Paul's not saying he doesn't have any goals. He's not saying he doesn't strive to improve himself, that he has no desires for tomorrow. He's saying he's learned to be fully satisfied and enjoys today while he's working on tomorrow's goals. He says he's learned to enjoy the present. That doesn't mean he's not trying to fulfill what God wants him to do or what God wants him to become. If everybody used contentment as an excuse, nothing would get done in the world. Who would take care of world hunger? Who would take care of social injustices? Well, I'm content. I don't have to deal with that. Who would ever get more education? Well, I'm content. I just don't need to do that. And I'm glad Edison didn't allow his contentment with natural light to stop him from creating the light bulb, aren't you? I'm glad Alexander Fleming wasn't just content to toss away the cheese he had when he noticed he had mold on it. We wouldn't have penicillin. I'm glad the Wright brothers didn't allow their contentment with other means of transportation to stop them from inventing and flying the airplane. We wouldn't have the ability to get from one place to another quickly. Don't confuse contentment with laziness. And next, we tend to confuse little thinking with spirituality. We say, well, I'm just me, just how God made me. And I can't expect big things because that's just not true. I know how God made me. I know how God made you. We understand who we are. That doesn't mean that the only way we can have a sense of spirituality is to think we're just little. That's not the case. Some folks believe using their brains and their minds and their heart goes against their trust in God. It does not. Remember, God's the one who gave us our brains, our minds, our hearts. It's not against God, it's in conjunction with God. Jabez is an example of the power of thinking big and trusting God all at the same time. Listen, folks, great men and great women are simply ordinary people with great thoughts, great ideas, great ambitions, and great dreams as they walk with a great God. You want to be like Jabez? If you want to live above average, you need to say, Lord, enlarge my territory. Bless me. That's a legitimate request. God, I want to do something with you, for you. God, do something significant in my life. You need to have a great ambition with God. It started like many evenings. Mom and Dad were at home with their son, Jimmy. Dinner was finished, and they began to get the dishes together. Jimmy wanted to go play. They were absorbed with their jobs and talking, and so
They told Jimmy to go up and get ready for bed, so he did. It was a full moon that night. Light just seeped through the windows. Jimmy was up in his room playing, and his mom hadn't heard him for a while, so about 30, 40 minutes later, she went up to check on him, and he was quiet. He was literally sitting next to the window when the moonlight was just coming down, and he could see through there and see this bright moon and was just watching it, looking at it. And to his mom's astonishment, she just watched him as he seemed just intent on watching and looking at the moon. And his mom said, "Jimmy, it's time for bed. What are you doing?" He said, "Mommy, I'm looking at the moon." And she said, "Well, that's interesting." He said, "Mom, one day I'm going to walk on that moon." And she smiled. She's a good mom. Patted him on the head. Who could have thought? Who would have known that the boy in whom the dream was planted that night would survive a near-fatal motorbike crash which broke almost every bone in his body, and who would become to fruition that dream 32 years later when James Jimmy Irwin stepped on the moon, just one of 12 representatives of the human race to have ever done so. And he had a dream, a vision that his mom couldn't even understand, that he himself didn't understand fully, but he had a great dream, a great ambition that kept him going. We need a great dream individually. Your family needs to have a great dream. Grace Point Church needs a great dream, or we're just going to sit here and go through the motions. Soon after the completion of Disney World, someone said, "Isn't it too bad that Walt Disney didn't live to see this?" Mike Vance, creative director of Disney Studios, said he did see it, and that's why it's here now. Disney had a great ambition. You want to live above average? Get a great ambition. Figure out what your dream is that God's giving you. What is God trying to lay on your heart and your mind? What is the something big that he wants you to be a part of? To get started, to get a hold of. Secondly, you need a great ambition, but number two, you also need a growing faith. You need a growing faith. It's interesting in these two verses that we looked at, we notice a couple of things about this man Jabez. In the first place, there's no mention made of any special ability in his life. No talent, no gift. It doesn't say he was educated. It doesn't say he was wealthy, that he had any unusual abilities. He was just a common man with uncommon faith in God. Well, I kind of take encouragement in that. It tells me that God uses common people. God uses ordinary people. That's good, because most of us are just common, everyday, ordinary people. That's who God uses. There's nothing wrong with having education. There's nothing wrong with doing well. I'm not putting any of that down. But there's something far more important than ability and a talent and gifts and background, and that is faith. It's believing God can work in and through you and your life and your experiences. In those verses, it says his mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." I think every person here who's a mama can give an amen to that. My understanding, I never gave birth, but my understanding is every mama gives birth in pain, right? Hey, that's not our fault, guys. Check back to Genesis. Genesis, That was God. You know, you could have had babies and never had any pain. You could have had as many babies as you want. But one of the punishments to the woman was, right, you're going to have birth and it's going to hurt. I'm just saying, didn't have to be that way. It's what you get for eating us out of house and home. I don't know. His mother said, I gave birth to him in pain. And then later it says that Jabez asked that he would be free from his pain. So apparently something happened to Jabez in the birth process. Maybe he had some type of birth defect. Maybe there was something in his life, some type of handicap that gave him some type of pain. He was birthed in pain. And then he has got to be free from his pain. Actually, the name Jabez means painful. How would you like to carry that name all your life? That'd be kind of rough. Be out on the playground, hey, painful, come over. You want to play, painful? Come on and play with us. Hey, pain in the neck, want to go out later? That really was his name. But Jabez's faith was stronger than his handicap. He would not let what somebody else had labeled him interfere with God's plan for his life. Who has labeled you? Who has labeled you and you're letting people get away with it and you're keeping it, you're allowing that to keep you from God's plan in your life? They've labeled you saying, well, she's shy, or he can't talk well, or he's been the nervous type, or she's always had a temper, on and on and on. They've labeled you and you've bought into it. Maybe when you were a kid, your dad said you're never going to amount to anything and you believed it. You're never going to be anything significant. Maybe a friend, a close friend to you, had said something to you that labeled you and put a limitation on you, at least in your mind. It kept you from having a great ambition and growing in faith. What's your handicap? Could be a physical handicap. Maybe it's an emotional handicap. Maybe it's a problem, an unhappy childhood like Jabez probably had. You got scarred as a child. Maybe it's a frustrating job. You think God could never use me? Yes, he can. He used Jabez, an ordinary person. Now, there are three kinds of people in life. Copy this down, and then I'll talk about them. First, there are excusers. Then there are accusers. And then there are choosers. Now, excusers are people who make an excuse for everything. He wasn't fair with me, or she doesn't like me, or I could have, but I had a sore arm, or they even make excuses for not believing in God, or they have a, you know people like this? They have an excuse for everything. Then there are accusers. These are people who blame others. It's all their fault. Well, if I had a better situation, if I had a better environment, if I'd have been given more of them a chance, and they blame everybody else. They're excusers or they're accusers. But then there are choosers. Choosers are the people who make it in life. They choose to believe God. They choose to move ahead in spite of difficulties, in spite of hang-ups, in spite of labels, in spite of problems. And that was what made Jabez's life great. He said, God, I want you to bless me. I want you to enlarge my territory. I'm going to believe you. That's my choice. He was a great man with a great ambition and with a growing faith. Anybody here seen the movie We Bought a Zoo? Been like 10, 15 years ago, two of us have seen We Bought a Zoo, three, four. I see that hand. It's a great movie. I absolutely loved watching it. Matt Damon plays the character Benjamin Mee. And in the chaos of purchasing a failing zoo, he had small children, and a teenage child as well. And in the chaos of buying a failed zoo and attempting to make it successful again, one of the lines he said, probably halfway to three-quarters of the way through the movie, he said this: "You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Literally 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery, and I promise you, something great will happen." And that stuck with me. 20 seconds of insane courage, embarrassing bravery. And I thought about this passage, and I thought about a growing faith. You need a growing faith, not a perfect faith, just a growing faith that says, "God, I'm trusting you. I've got issues, I've got shortcomings, but I'm making you. I'm trusting in you. I'm believing in you." You need to give God just 20 seconds of embarrassingly faithful, insanely trusting belief, and watch what he'll do in your life and through your life. 20 seconds where you say, "I am yours, and I'm going to trust you." He might even lead you to buy a zoo. You need a great ambition. Jabez shows us that. You need a growing faith. And the third characteristic we see in Jabez's life is, number three, you need a genuine prayer life. A genuine prayer life. In that passage of Scripture, it says Jabez prayed. Jabez was honored by God because he prayed to God. His prayer was the key to his life. And as we look at his prayer, we notice that Jabez made three requests. These requests allowed him to live above average. If you want to live above average, pray these things in your life. Number one, Jabez prayed for God's power on his life. He prayed for God's power on his life. He said, "Bless me. God, I want your power in my life, so bless me." He knew to live above average, he needed God's power to accomplish his dream. He couldn't do it on his own, so he said, "God, bless me." He's very specific. He says, "I want you to give me more real estate." That was his goal. He had a very clear, specific goal that he prayed about. "God, I want you to expand my real estate holdings." Do you pray that way? Are you that specific when you pray? Do you pray about your goals? Are you specific in telling God what you would like him to do in your life? Do you talk to the Lord about your business? Do you say, "God, expand my business"? Have you said, "God, bless my home life? Help me to be greater, stronger, more committed person"? Are you specific when you ask God what you want? Jabez said, "God, enlarge my territory." You say, "Kevin, isn't that selfish?" No. Jabez wasn't wanting more territory so he could just get rich. He's doing it so God can continue to use the blessings in Jabez's life to be blessing other people so he could reach more people for God. What do we learn from this? That Jabez just said, "Bless me, enlarge my territory." What we learn is that God dares us to ask him for a great request. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says this: "God is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask." Now, I can imagine some pretty big things. And God kind of gives us a little challenge. He says, "You think one of the greatest things I could bless your life with, and I'll top it." He's able to do even more than what our minds are able to imagine. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we're commanded by Scripture to ask God of things. Over and over, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. You have not because you ask not. Ask that your door may be full. How much of God do you want in your life? How much do you want Him to bless your home, your family, your business? God says, pray. Ask. Jabez prayed for God's power in his life. You say, Kevin, I prayed for some of those things that didn't get answered. Me too. Join the club. That doesn't mean you stop. It didn't say you ask God and then God gives it to you instantly. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Maybe God's going to guide you in a different direction so you don't ask for this. He's going to guide you. Ask for that. Just keep on asking. Be a little child. Most of us have had children. Maybe you had grandchildren or nieces, nephews. Do they ever stop asking? I've spanked my kids to get them to stop asking, and the next day they're still asking. Keep asking. Number two, Jabez didn't just pray for God's power. Jabez prays for God's presence in his life. He said, let your hand be with me. He said, God, I want you to be with me. I want your presence to be with me in my work, in my career, in my life, in my family. I want you to be with me. Why? Because large territory increases responsibility. You have large territory, it means you have more borders to defend. With growth comes additional responsibilities. With success come additional problems. The larger territory you have, the more enemies are going to try and come against you. They'll envy you. So you need to stay close to God. You need to allow His presence to permeate your life 24/7. You need God's power. You need God's presence. And number three, Jabez prayed for God's protection over his life. He said, keep me from harm so I will be free from pain. Keep me from harm. Why? Because he knew as God blessed him, he would become a bigger target for his enemies. But no matter how big Jabez and his estate would get, it would never be strong enough to offer the kind of protection that only God himself could offer them. Jabez knew that with God's power and God's presence and God's protection, he didn't need to fear anything. When you combine the power forces of a great ambition and a great faith and a genuine prayer life, you can be sure you're going to stand out in a crowd. You will be living above average. So, what do you need to do? You need to have a greater ambition. You need to have bigger dreams. You need to have a larger than life outlook on what God wants to do through ordinary you. Are you confusing humility with fear, contentment with laziness? Do you have little thinking equated with spirituality? Maybe you need to quit making excuses for why you're not allowing God to do big things in your life. Maybe you just need to start over with talking with God consistently. If you're a baseball player or a fan of the sport, you may recognize the name Jim Abbott. Jim Abbott played, he pitched for the New York Yankees. It's very interesting that on September 4th, 1993, Jim Abbott, pitching for the Yankees against the Cleveland Indians, on that day he pitched a no-hitter. You can count the number of no-hitters that have been pitched in baseball on just, maybe 20, 25 at the most. It's rare. It's rare to pitch a no-hitter. What you don't know about Jim Abbott is he was born with just one arm. His other arm was cut off, wasn't cut off here, it never formed here. It just, he threw the ball with one arm, took the glove off his partial arm, then put it on here in case he had to catch it. He threw in Major League Baseball through a no-hitter with one working arm. Don't tell Jim he couldn't do it. Coleman Shannon was a 14-year-old pitcher from Johnsonville, South Carolina, 14 years old. He had a medical condition known as amelia, in which a person lacks one or more limbs. His limb was an arm. He was a pitcher. 14 years old, pitched a no-hitter in high school league baseball with one arm. Don't tell him. It's not possible. Don't tell Jabez it's not possible. And don't you let anybody else tell you that whatever God wants to do in your life is not possible. God calls all of us to live above average. No matter how average you are, He can call you to live above that. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for Jabez and for giving us this man, making him stand out among everyone else in Scripture at this place where hundreds of names were given, and yet he stood out. He was an average guy, but he lived above average because he trusted you, had faith in you, because he dared to ask for the things in his life that only you could do. God, we're just average people down here. We do some things well. Most of the things we do average. Some we're below. We're kind of like Jabez. God, help us to start coming to you like he did and say, God, use me. Use me in above average ways. Give me an ambition. Give me a vision. Give me faith to fulfill your plan for my life. Give Grace Point Church vision and plans that only you can bring about as we try to reach people for Jesus. Help us to be like Jabez. And God, whatever that takes this morning, maybe you're convicting us, maybe you're encouraging us, maybe you're challenging us to say, hey, I've made excuses long enough. No more time for excuses. It's time to move forward. Speak to us to do so. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you folks still move it around as God moves. First of all, let me say a great welcome to some friends from Tennessee. We have a group. You may have seen a little stirring around outside this morning. Dawson, did we have 25 total?
21.
The University of Tennessee Chattanooga students here. And I will say they had an accidental baptism. They were going surfing. So you guys stand up, right? Give them a hand right here, the guys that were able to stay with us. And their leader, Dawson. You guys can be seated, but I'll tell you, they are doing a great ministry. I was talking to Dawson. On Tuesday nights, they'll have as many as 180 to a couple hundred students come out for worship. on their campus. So thank you guys. Pray for them. They'll be traveling back as well. Some are already gone. Also, next week is our baptism at the beach. I guess, Jason, can they bring a surfboard? Would that be all right? I don't know. You got one? Me neither. All right. So, baptism. And if you are part of that, if you want to be a part of the baptism, one of the candidates to be baptized, see me afterwards. I'm going to be down here in the front. Come up and talk. We got a few little things to go over. And next week, that's going to be exciting. We're going to go right out there after church. The church is providing meat and drinks. Is that right, Loria?
Yeah.
And also, about 2:30 or 3, we'll actually do the baptisms out there at the beach. The youth are going to hang around and have some fun out there. We're going to order some pizza around 5:30 or 6, and that way they'll get a little extra time out there. They might have surf. You guys have a surfboard? You do. Oh, man, there we go.
You're free to bring a chair, too.
I'm not getting on that surfboard, but I might get on a chair. But there you go. If you helped with breakfast this morning, please raise your hand. All those folks, give these folks a hand, too. They did a great job getting the breakfast together. So, all right, Jason. Oh, yes, that was fun. That was fun. Let's pray together and go out with excitement and pray those prayers. Lift up that dream that God's given you. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one who's here. For those who are traveling now back to Tennessee, we pray for their safe travel. Thank you that they were able to make contact right here in this divine appointment that you set. Lord, be with us as we prepare for baptism next week out at the beach. We're excited about that. Lord, we love you. Help us take this excitement out into the world now. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.